Hi, I'm Emily Liddow.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
We're going to talk about parents of kids with disabilities, except we're not actually going to talk about it by ourselves because that's no fun and we don't know anything about that.
We're not parents.
Right, exactly. But we have someone who is a parent and also one of our favorite bloggers. Can you introduce yourself, special guest?
Hi. Oh, I like that title. I'm Ellen Seidman, and I am mom to three kids, Max, who's 14, Sabrina, who's 12, and Benjamin, who is almost 21 months. And
I don't think I realized that Max is 14.
Isn't that crazy? He is.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off. Please continue talking about how wonderful you are.
No, I don't think I'll talk about me. I can talk about how wonderful my children are. I have no shame about that. And I have been writing a blog called Love That Max since he was 5 years old. And it's geared towards parents of children, now teens with disabilities. And I started it to just really form a community and just for support and to bounce things around. I had gone through somewhat of a tough time after Max was born, and then, you know, he turned out to be this amazing child, and things weren't anywhere near as awful or as dire as I thought at first. I mean, it's really hard at first when you hear that you're going to have a child with disabilities when you're a parent. And he did not turn out to be the worst. He turned out to be the best. So I wanted to write about what I'd been through and what I continue to learn from Max, and share it with people, the parents of kids with disabilities, and also with other people who don't have any connection to the world of disability, to illuminate them, educate them, have some fun along the way.
Oh, man.
The two of us are obviously fangirling right now.
You have touched on so many things.
I just started talking. That just all kind of poured out of me. So
no, it's fine.
You're going to need to stop me. I just talk a lot sometimes.
No. We go for the organic, the natural, the whatever comes out of your mouth at any given moment in time.
Good. Podcasts are great for me then. Okay.
So we actually have been fans for a while, but what really sparked us wanting to have you on was when you put up a post, I would say it was maybe just a couple of weeks ago or the beginning of June, actually, about Max informing you that he does not have special needs.
Yes.
And yes. I think it points to a much larger issue of how sometimes parents of people with disabilities and people with disabilities can end up being at odds about things like terminology or perspectives on disability. But I think you, and I'm guessing Kyle would agree, have found the balance of talking about your experience as a parent and doing so in a way that also recognizes the perspectives of people with disabilities. And I think that's a hard balance.
It's also one that you don't see very often, unfortunately.
Well, that is really awesome to hear, because as Max has gotten older, I am really aware of how adults with disabilities perceive what I write about. And, you know, when you write, you try not to have any censors in your head. But sometimes I'm like, wait, you know, what would they think? Or how would that be taken? And, you know, sometimes I get called on stuff like I wrote about Max having this tremendous meltdown at a parade on Memorial Day weekend. And one of my longtime readers wrote, would Max be comfortable with your writing about that? So, you know, it did give me pause. I mean, I was writing it because I found it cathartic. I knew a lot of other parents would relate to what I was writing about. And it's a really, that's a tricky line for me to walk, because Max kind of sort of understands that I write about him, but he doesn't totally get what a blog is. And, you know, so there's that censor too. Like, hey, is this cool to write about Max in this way? And I'm respectful of his boundaries always. I try to never write about stuff that I think could embarrass him when he gets older. I have always said that if someday when he gets older and he turns around and gives me the big F you, mom, for writing a blog, I will be so ecstatic, because that would mean that he's reached that cognitive level.
Oh, that's pretty funny, actually.
But Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot to be said about how parents of children of disabilities view things and how adults with disabilities view things. And the truth is that when you're a parent, and I don't know what your own parents went through, and listen, you can't totally, you know, generalize, but a lot of parents go through this period of struggle where you didn't expect to have a child with disabilities, and you don't yet understand when your children are little that there are many abilities in this world. All you know is that you didn't get the child that you quote unquote thought you were going to have. And, you know, I think that sometimes adults with disabilities don't get that parents go through that. And sometimes that there will always be this little part of you that's like, wow, you know, that happened. But don't you guys agree that there is this divide?
I do. Sometimes? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And you touched on an interesting point, too, about how a lot of parents just don't expect that their kid's going to have a disability. And I imagine that that has to be a shock to the system. If you have a child and you have this vision in your head and the child may not be matching whatever vision you had. And I don't think that means necessarily that you're an ableist, horrible person. I think it means that, you know, society has not prepared you for the possibility that your child might not be able-bodied.
Correct. Like, it's all how you're brought up. And now I speak about that often in the blog. I'm like, if only parents would educate their children just to treat children with disabilities like any children. I say that all the time. So it took having Max for me to understand that. And, you know, but right, when you have a lot of times when you have a child with disabilities, you haven't had any experience in your life with people with disabilities. I didn't personally. And, you know, society has come a long way in some ways since I was little, but there's still this sentiment that it's not a quote unquote good thing. And, as I now know, it's just part of who Max is. It's not all of him. It's one part of who he is as a person. And he is so much more than just a disability. He is a character. He's funny. He's got great hair. You know, it's like everything. He's the whole package. So I think that's one thing that I really learned along the way as his parent is that it's just one part. And that's what I also try to get parents to see and that I think so many people cannot see. People look at people with disability I should speak about Max. People look at Max sometimes and can only see that he can't speak like everybody else or that he has a drooling issue sometimes. Like that's what they see. And you feel like saying, really? Like, look beyond, engage him, talk with him, say hi.
Yeah, completely agree.
I think it's also pretty reductive to say that something is just good or bad, too, you know? Right. And so I think it was interesting how you were pointing out that it just is. It's just a fact of life. And I think that's something that Kyle and I try to talk about a lot on the show is that it's another form of reality. It's not that we're suffering and that it's horrible. And it's not that it's the greatest thing in the whole world. I mean, some days are good and some days are bad. Some days
both. Yeah, some days. It depends on the day for sure.
Right. And it's like any part of life. I mean, you know, I have my own challenges in life. I don't choose to write about them every day because I would like to continue working. But, you know, like I sometimes lose my temper with my husband, whatever. I mean, we all have like our challenges and not to compare that to having a disability, but it's part of humanity. Everybody has their own share, whether they're visible or not visible. I was going to go back to something that you said that drives me up a wall now that I've attuned to it, which is when you're reading an article and they will say a cerebral palsy sufferer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hate that term.
My God.
A victim of, you know, cerebral palsy. You're like, no.
Yeah, cerebral palsy came and got me in the night. That's exactly what happened. I haven't been the same since.
Totally.
Oh, my goodness.
That's victimizing, you know, and it just perpetuates really bad stereotypes. And please don't use that language. And it matters. The conversation matters.
Do you find that people call you nitpicky ever? Because I know just from reading your blog that you do focus sometimes just on a language choice that someone used or a portrayal of something. And I know personally I've been called nitpicky so many times. So I wonder if you've had the same experience, perhaps even from other parents or, you know, someone maybe who doesn't have a disability who just doesn't recognize how much words have power.
Right. I definitely have. I mean, I've spoken out a fair amount over the years about the usage of the word retard, mm-hmm. retarded, mm-hmm. and people have often said, like, don't you have any other battles to fight? And, you know, that's ridiculous. There's, you know, why would you focus on just a word? That's not the problem. So, like, for the record, first of all, I'm an editor for a living. So words really do matter to me.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I do care maybe more than the average bear. But this is something that a lot of parents care about. And, you know, Max has intellectual disability. And I don't want to perpetuate usage of a word or words that portray people with ID in a really negative, loser-like, pathetic light. He is so much more than that. And you know what? I really hope there comes a day when Max will be his own best advocate. And that's coming along. But until then, I'm going to stand there and, yeah, I'm going to nitpick you about using that word if you want to call it that way. Call it that.
I mean, we're both professional nitpickers as well. I've been doing this show for
is that on your resume, Kyle?
Well, I'll put it there now.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to open
it's
that
definitely
document.
On Emily's.
You just add that right to LinkedIn. There you go.
Okay. Right. Professional nitpicker.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to be called out for being a nitpicker.
Yeah.
Well, because, yeah, because then you're nitpicking about being called a nitpicker, and it's like it never ends.
I think, you know what, I like reached the point in life where I have such a thick skin at this point that the older you get, the less you give a shit. So it's just
brilliant.
You know, it's really helped me with dealing with whatever trolls kind of come onto the blog or haters or whoever. And you would think that when you're writing a blog that's basically for good, you wouldn't get flack, but oh my God.
People find flack for everything.
It's so, that's the internet, you know? It's
yeah, exactly.
It's wonderful and it's crazy and you're like, whoa, where did these people come from?
How do you handle getting flack or having a situation where somebody might say something that really is harmful and hurtful, you know, whether or not it's somebody that you know or someone who's a troll on the internet? Do you have a way to let it roll off your shoulders or do you channel it in a certain way? Because, you know, living so publicly, I'm sure you keep plenty of things to yourself, but the stories that you do share on your blog, I imagine it does open up some level of vulnerability. So do you have a coping mechanism?
So I eventually put up a policy in my blog saying that I don't usually delete comments, but I would delete comments if they were offensive to Max or just to people in general. So on occasion, I'll hit delete. With trolls, depending on the level of insanity, sometimes I would just toy with them. Like they would say something nasty and I'd say, does your mother know that you're writing this? Or are you writing this from your mother's basement? Like I would just start playing around with them.
That's pretty funny.
But sometimes, you know what? People lobby criticism at you and I do engage sometimes. I mean, there are parents out there who have kids with Down syndrome or intellectual disability and who have argued with me about the use of the word retard and that, you know, mental retardation is an actual diagnosis. And, you know, I'll just come back at them with the facts and say, hey, actually, it's defunct. It's a defunct term. It used to be a medical diagnosis. If your doctor's office still has that on the paperwork, you know, it should be.
Find a different doctor.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, yeah. You know, but I'll engage back. I mean, a lot of times, honestly, when you have blog, you also sit back sometimes and see if your readers will just step in and come to your defense. And sometimes they do. A lot more discourse is happening on Facebook, I've been finding. I don't know about you guys and what you see out there, but there's a lot of backing and forthing on Facebook.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Facebook has become the new blog comment section.
Yep.
But in like a much better way.
It, It is. I mean, it's a really lively play, and you know, it's great. I love it. It's great for all sorts of reasons. It actually is usually more positive feedback than the blog for whatever reason. You can get quick information if you want it. I mean, I've posted about everything on Facebook from, hey, what kind of socks do you guys use for foot braces, to what kind of bibs do you use if your child drools? I mean, it's just anything out there. So together, I mean, it's just the hive mind. You can ask anything, and there will be somebody out there who's dealt with what you're dealing with, who can relate to what you're going through, who can help. And you know, I'm the person who asks sometimes, and sometimes I'm the person who can answer. It's amazing.
Disability crowdsourcing is a real thing.
Yeah,
absolutely, for sure.
I mean, I don't think I'm betraying anything here if I say that. Like, I actually went. Maybe somebody answered. I don't remember. I got a bunch of answers, but like, I needed a tool to like see if I could get Max to you know, help himself in the bathroom. And I got some really great ideas from an adult with CP advising parents of children with CP group. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
Max is going to need tools and assistance that I can't necessarily give him, but there are lots of adults out there who have all the wisdom. So I'm going to be more reliant on them in upcoming years, I think.
This actually raises an interesting question about how there seems to be the divide between disabled and parent communities. Uh-huh. And I think that you're pointing to the fact that really everyone can use everyone else as a resource, and why can't we all just get along?
Well, I don't think there should be. I think the fact that there's such a divide is a disservice to both communities as a whole, you know?
Amen.
And the thing is, members of each blame the other, and it's like, that doesn't get anyone anywhere.
Well, no, and you know what, as the years have gone on, I've been able to better see and understand both sides. And, you know, I remember that, like, maybe was it 2 years ago, there was a post on The Mighty that caused a lot of controversy. It was by a mom of a kid with autism, and I think she created some sort of board game, like, take, you know, advance two spaces if your child calms down immediately. You know, go back five if he has a tantrum in the middle of the supermarket or some such thing. It was meant to be funny, but adults with autism were seriously angry and offended, and they thought it portrayed autism in this awful light. So I saw that, but as a parent, sometimes a coping mechanism is humor for when you're dealing with, you know, challenges and you're going through your own stuff about what's going on with your child. So, you know, in a case like that, I can see the adult community getting riled up over something like that. And I could also see it from the parent perspective. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, you know, you do try to write respectfully about your child, but sometimes, you know, I mean, if I look back a post through the years, I've written about Max's tendency to repeat the same thing again and again and again. And I've written funny posts about it, or in my mind that were funny. I hope that they won't be offensive to him when they grow up. But, you know, oh, sorry, my earphone fell out. You know, dealing with, you know, a child who every 5 minutes says, I want to be a fireman when I grow up, can really grate on your nerves at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm positive I've driven my parents crazy for some reason directly related to my CP at some point.
Well, yeah, I
growing
mean,
especially growing up
job. A child's job is to drive their parents crazy, so
right
I mean, that's part of their job description anyway. So yes, Max drives me crazy in some ways. Hey, my 12-year-old tween daughter drives me crazy in others, although I don't choose to write about her sometimes. No, I don't really write about her, because I write mostly about parenting somebody with a disability. So there you have it.
Yeah, I also remember that post from The Mighty. And
wasn't that what started Cripping the Mighty or something close to it?
Yeah, so I wrote a blog post sort of examining both sides of the situation and calling for people to figure out how to coexist peacefully.
Oh, I have to look that up. I did not see that.
And I still don't think that we have quite figured out how to coexist peacefully. And I think the onus is on both sides. And I hate that I even have to say sides, because there shouldn't be sides in this instance. But there are definitely some parents who I find, you know, may cross a line occasionally, but there are also some disabled people who I think are very quick to go on the attack. So I don't think there's an answer either. I think that it's just one of those things where everyone's going to have to try to find a way to meet in the middle. And I don't know what that looks like, but I do know that open lines of communication are necessary, and shutting them down, even for parents, it's a problem. You can't just tell a parent not to talk about their experiences. What you can do is ask them to talk about it in a way that's respectful. So I think you have found that balance. And I wonder, you know, have you ever spoken to other parents about how to also find that balance?
Not really. I mean, honestly, if I had started the blog, I'd say when Max was younger, I've often said it would have been a very sort of different blog, because I was in a really hard place like for the first couple of years after he was born. But by the time he was 5 years old, I was like, this is my awesome son and he is who he is. And, you know, he is going to develop on his own timeline. He's going to do things in his own way. And that is totally cool. So no, I really haven't, you know, discussed this with other parents. I've seen pretty dark blogs, you know, and that's where those parents are at that time in their lives. And it's all, you know, it's a cliche, but it is a journey. And people jump onto the internet at different points, I guess. I mean, I've been accused of saying that my blog is too positive, but it's genuinely how I feel about Max. And when something bothers me, I write about it. But again, I really am trying to respect him. And, you know, I guess it's all a big circle of respect, because in respecting Max, I'm also respecting, you know, the disability population, hopefully as a whole. So, you know, there's that. I'm curious though, when you've read something by a parent that's offended you, what's typically offended you? Like, what bothers you?
Oh gosh, we did a whole episode of this show sprung out of an article that someone named I'm gonna say her name wrote in Elle magazine.
Okay,
who basically was calling her child a piece of like that's what she said in the article, and also like she framed it in a way that was guilting the child into making her harm him, which was the most offensive. Oh, and then she compared it to the Holocaust.
Yeah, so, and terrorism. Oh my and
God. Yeah, I mean, I realize I that's an extreme example.
Made it
but
past
my
the editors.
Goodness.
Wow.
But my goodness,
you the article.
It was atrocious.
Well,
it was shameful.
As a magazine editor, I can tell you, I mean, Elle usually does smart articles, but obviously the editor is like, woohoo, this is going
to... Yeah, this is racy.
This is going to stir up a lot of controversy. Let's publish it as an opinion piece. And, you know, obviously, seriously offensive, it sounds like. But, wow, that's kind of over the top, though. I mean...
Yeah, so when you're blaming your child for being the reason that you want to inflict harm on them, and you're publicly admitting that you want to inflict harm on your child,
okay, that's just
I would be very concerned.
Yeah, that's right, that's kind of insane. Is there anything more garden variety that?
I guess a more I can't think of a specific. Maybe you can, Emily, because you read more about disability than I do. But like, when there's like, what gets me is when there's a parent that is like, you can tell that they're clearly making an effort, but they just miss the mark. And it's just something that you can feel when you read it. It's just like, I don't know, any article that reads like it's supposed to garner sympathy for the person writing it. So like the parent themselves rather than the child being spoken about. And it's different. Like when you've written on days when you were frustrated with Max and you've used it as catharsis, but like that's not your MO, so that's a very few and far between type thing. I'm talking about like there are blogs that do that constantly, and then it's just like, I don't know, that's what gets me.
Right.
You know,
it's not about you, it's about
right.
It's really about everybody, right? I mean, like, yes, as a parent you can go through some stuff, but then in the end, what are you doing to enable and your child and help him or her along?
There's a huge difference to me between sympathy and empathy. Mm. And I think that's where the line is for me. If you're looking for my sympathy, you know, go play your violin somewhere else. If you're looking for empathy and you're making a real human connection and you're saying, hey, today was hard. Today hurt. Today I was hurting. Today my child was hurting. This was difficult. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Then to me, I have empathy for you because I've been there, because I realize that not every day when disability is involved is an easy day. And that's not to say that you shouldn't have sympathy for people once in a while when they're going through something particularly difficult.
Right.
But
that's such a good point. I mean, I think the global problem too is that society still has pity for, I mean, I can speak only as Max's yep. mom, but still has a fair amount of pity for Max and for kids, you know, for teens and children like him. I have seen it constantly. It's sort of like, oh, he's so cute. Too bad he's disabled.
I'm so sorry.
And oh my God, the sorry. I used to get a lot more of that when Max was young. But you know, even now, like I wrote something, I don't remember, like maybe half a year ago or more, where this woman in Dunkin' Donuts handed Max free donuts. And I wrote this post called, "You Don't Have to Give My Child Free Donuts." Like Dave and him had gone in to get some chocolate milk and a donut, and the woman behind the counter was like, oh, he doesn't talk. And Dave said, he talks in his own way. And the woman just, you know, gave him one of those looks and then gave him free donuts. Now, you know, listen, hey, okay, great, free donuts. But the point was they were coming from this place of pity. And, you know, I actually did get some flack on that. Parents were like, what the hell? Just take the free donuts. But I don't want people to feel that way about Max, because it makes him this other human being instead of a human being just like any other, you know?
Yes.
We've grappled with this before.
We do it all the time.
I don't know what to do in situations like that, especially because my disability is more visible as a wheelchair user. I just never know, do I take the wheelchair perk or, you know, the disability perk and go with it? Or do I say, no, treat me like everyone else? But then also...
I'm sorry. Go on. Sorry, Emily.
Oh, I was just going to say, but also free donuts. I remember that post vividly. Yeah.
Yes, free donuts.
No, but I'm on the other end because I'm like, where's mine, man? I have CP too. Like, and I realize it's because I pass. I realize that, right? But it's such a weird thing to be jealous of. It's like... You know, it's like,
right. And yeah. Listen, and there's all sorts of intricacies to this. Like, you know what? When we've gone to amusement parks like Disney World or wherever, and we're able to, you know, use an alternate entry because we have a pass or whatever it is, that is a quote unquote perk that will take because it levels the playing field for Max. It enables him to do a park. He can't stand the lines for long periods of time. So I don't have any issues with that. And how, you know, heck yeah, sure. I'm glad to like cut the lines at these amusement parks with Max. But I in the end just do not want people to feel that he is in any way a tragedy. And I do, I mean, you guys would know this better than me, but when it comes to being the parent of a child with disabilities, you so see that all the time. And I just try to get people to see Max and not just the CP.
Yeah, that's
the struggle.
The battle. And I think I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this also. So I'm sure you know a lot of people consider disability to be an identity and to be something that they want to be seen and recognized. So how do you balance the idea that disability is part of who Max is and also get people to see that there's so much more to him? Do you think that there's a way for people to see things in this all-encompassing manner rather than having to completely separate the disability from him in order to see him as a whole person?
That's a great question. I mean, first of all, one thing that came to mind in terms of just my own evolution of how I've seen things is that years ago I learned about people-first language, right? Like, instead of saying a disabled adult, you would say an adult with disabilities, or a disabled child, a child with disabilities. And my first reaction was, hey, that's so great. And yeah. And you know who changed my mind is Shannon from The Thinking Person's Guide to Autism.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like, I have an autistic child. She is hardcore. And I met up with her. I think it was at a blogging conference and we talked about it. And she's like, I want Leo to embrace who he is. He has autism. He is an autistic child. He is not a child with autism necessarily. So, I mean, it's not that she had a problem with the words child with autism, but she was totally embracing autistic child. So first of all, that was really illuminating to me. And I have in the past spoken out about people first, but I dropped it. I was like, you know what? No, disabled child, disabled teen, disabled adult, fine. That's part of who he is. In terms of just getting people to just, it's a sticky wicket for me and just something that's evolving because Max doesn't yet totally, he understands that he has CP, but what that means is still an evolution for him. He asked me not long ago if Ben was going to get CP, his baby brother. So you could see that he's still trying to understand what it means. But in terms of helping other people, I am always glad to talk with people about what I've learned about CP and what it means to have it, and hope that if they understand the mechanism a little bit better, then maybe they will better understand why Max is the way he is and does the things he does and acts the way he acts sometimes. Although, because he had a stroke at birth, which is how he got CP. So he got some brain damage in terms of speech that affects speech and learning. And, I'm not saying anything that you wouldn't know by looking or talking with Max. So anyway, I think that in talking sometimes about what CP is, people don't quite understand. That helps people better understand the whole of who he is. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yes. That makes a lot of sense. And I very much appreciate what you said about language choice. However, I know it's hard because you really shouldn't say cerebral palsy person. You just shouldn't do it.
You can't. That just doesn't work.
Right. Some people seem to think that, oh, okay, identity first. Well, then I'm just going to call the person by their diagnosis. And that just really doesn't work in some cases.
Right.
So it's a challenge. But I appreciate your insight regarding language. And I think that what it comes down to is respecting that everyone's going to use different language. And as long as we can respect each other's preferences at the end of the day, and we're not calling someone something downright offensive.
Right. I mean, and what we were talking before about words and nitpicking? Listen, in the end, this is just one small thing we can try to change and one small thing relatively that we can try to influence. The bigger conversation is respect and, not just respect, but like how people view people of all with disability. And that's ultimately the bottom line is just, one thing I want to do as a parent is get other parents to speak to their children while they're young, which is when they're most impressionable, about, any children that they know with disabilities, and make it clear that they should not be afraid of them, but that they're just like other children, but maybe with some visible differences. I think it starts when the kids are little, and
we say that all the time, like we don't understand as people with disabilities. And I mean me and Emily, I don't want to speak for every single one of us, but we don't get it when, Emily and I are rolling along and she's, walking beside me and, a parent will, lift their kid out of the way as if Emily doesn't know what she's doing when she drives her wheelchair. And it's like, that's how you create fear.
Oh.
It's that right there. And their life is ruined now. I mean, not permanently, of course, but they're not going to fix that because they thought they were doing the right thing.
Well, oh my God. And as a parent, I've experienced similar things and you don't forget this stuff because it pains you because you're like, what the heck is wrong with you? He's just a child. Like years ago, Max was in Barnes & Noble, and he went over and touched another little boy who was reading because Max just doesn't have space boundaries sometimes. He's very friendly. And this mother whisked her child away. And I was just like, shame on you. And what are you teaching? Exactly what you said. What are you teaching your child. So it could have been a great moment. And it turned, you know, it is just so awful. So as the years have gone on, you know, I've gotten more vocal about, you know, helping people or helping parents, I should say, in situations. Sometimes parents just get awkward. They don't know what to say. They worry about saying the right thing, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it's just easier. Like, I'll just talk right with the child. Like, if I find that somebody is staring at Max, I'll be like, hey, do you want to say hi? You know, or I'll just be like, hey, Max, go say hello. Or, you know, I'll say something like, he's wearing a fireman hat because he wants to be a fireman when he grows up. So, you know, whatever it is, I would like for Max to speak up for himself and forge these connections on his own. But, you know, we're not totally at that point. And so I am there to bridge that gap that may exist and just try to get people to engage with him as a, you know, as a person.
And that's what it's all about, is engaging.
Right? I know.
I just wish that parents would not be so quick to grab their child and yank them out of my way. Or if a child asks, you know, why are you in a wheelchair? The parent's so quick to say, you can't ask that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Because there's a stigma about disability that's still out there. No matter.
Oh, for sure.
Of course.
But the kid doesn't know that.
No.
Yet.
Right.
So, that's how they learn it.
Well, right. And the parents grew up with the stigma. So they have like a sense of, oh, we don't talk about that. And children are naturally curious. And you know what? I have had children over the years say, you know, when Max was younger, they'd say, is he like, even when he was like 8 or something, they'd say, is he a baby? Because he wasn't yet. He doesn't talk like you and I do. Right. So there's that. And I'd say, no, he just talks in a different way. And the parents would be standing there looking mortified. And I'd just be like, it's okay. They can ask questions. And, you know, Max wasn't often paying attention. Now he is. So now I'll rope Max into the conversation. And I'll be like, hey, Max, you can talk, right? And Max is like, yeah. So, you know, you just try to get people talking. And as a parent, I definitely have to deal with that parent awkwardness or embarrassment. The kids are not embarrassed. They're just kids. They're just nosy, curious. And if their parents aren't going to, you know, help teach them, then I will when I can.
Yeah, it's all about doing what you can. And I try really hard to, even though Kyle and I must say this every other episode about how I don't like to be a living, breathing, teachable moment.
But I do.
I value the opportunity to be able to show a child that I'm nothing to be afraid of just because I move around differently. And if a parent gives me that opportunity, I find that so rewarding.
Right. That's, I applaud. That's great that you have that attitude. Because I sometimes wonder if like the majority of adults would feel as you do. I wonder again about, we've talked about bridging gaps, like, how can adults with disability help with these situations better too? I mean, as a parent of a child with disability, I'm trying to do my thing. Like, what can we all do in the scheme of things? It's one of the reasons when I started writing the blog, Max is 5, and I wrote it because I really wanted to help other parents, mostly to reassure them that, hey, cool. But I just started doing more advocacy as the years went, because I really, really wanted people to understand that having a child with disability, again, was not tragic, but he was just my child who happened to have CP. So I guess writing, obviously, what you and I do is one way. What else can be done, you know, to help? I mean, schools, I guess, should be doing their part too, right? Because there is much of an influence on children as parents, not more so sometimes. You know, how more inclusion. There definitely, I mean, I could go on about this, and that's not the purpose of your podcast, but there's not enough.
I mean,
there's not enough inclusion, you know, there's just not enough. And I see this again as a parent, but it's so much better. Actually, Max is 14 again. So like in the 14 years of his existence, I've seen more programming crop up, and I'm really grateful. So, but when children are, have peers with disabilities in their nursery classes, then they're just, they're peer. They're not, you know, anything
exactly
afraid of. So, you know, there needs to be more done schools and with programming in general, not just you know, but extracurricular stuff too. Now, the amazing thing about the time we live in social media is, for better and for worse, you know, there's the whole, you know, social media shaming. I don't totally believe in it, but you know what? It's made places turn around. You know, like years ago, there was not even that long ago, like a local place near me refused to host a birthday party for a boy who had Down syndrome.
What?
Right. So the mom wrote about it on Facebook. It exploded. And, you know, they had an answer up and they turned around. And so do I wish things went that way? Not at all. But that's one thing that's happening. I'm not saying, you know, go out and make a fuss, but it really does, you know, it does have an effect when you're exposed as being disabled.
So I think we could literally do an entire other episode just based on the amazing things that you've been saying. So by all means, all you right. could keep going for as long as you wanted to.
No, don't apologize.
No apologies necessary. In fact, you have said some of the most insightful things in regard to guests we've had on this show. Not to say that any of our guests haven't said insightful things, but I think we particularly appreciate your insights because we are trying to bridge gaps here and be connectors rather than dividers. So I really appreciate all that you had to say. And Kyle and I like to do this thing at the end of every episode called Final Takeaways, which is pretty much where we say what we've gotten out of the conversation. So I think maybe we can go first, and then if you have a second to think on what your final takeaway is that you want to leave people with, we would love to have you share it.
Ah, cool. Okay.
So Kyle, final takeaways.
Oh, man. It's so hard to pick just one. You've been a fantastic, I guess I have a question more than anything, and that is, what do you think, and I'm sorry if this is loaded, it's not intended to be, but what do you think is, if you had to pick one thing that you think the quote unquote greater disability community at large, or even Emily and I, wouldn't understand as disabled people about being a parent, that you wish disabled people did, what would that be?
I mean, I have to go back to something I did touch on before, because I do think this is where the huge gap is. And it's about the grief that you go through when you learn that you have a child with disabilities. Because neither of you have ever grappled with that. Your parents did, and maybe they didn't go through. I don't know if you know what your parents went. I mean, do you have any?
No, well, that was going to be actually part of what I asked you to, but I guess it was too personal, so I decided not to. But my parents do not talk about it. I mean, they'll touch on it, but I can, when they talk about it, they're clearly like, they don't want to.
Okay.
So I don't ever push it.
Okay.
But I've always wanted to know what that was. I mean, I understand that it's extremely difficult to talk about, so I've never really pressed anyone that I knew that could answer it.
Right.
But as someone with CP, I really sort of wish to know the sort of hellish earth that I've created for my parents by virtue of my birth.
Now, the hellish thing that you speak of is just something that I can speak for a lot of parents here, that you go through early on and then it dissipates. But again, it goes back to the stigma of disability that we were raised on, that I think is changing to some extent. It's still there, but I feel like we're heading in a much better direction. And again, even since Max was little, of disability. And so when you learn that you have a child with disability, your first reaction really is, oh my God. And, you know, especially nowadays, there's such a focus on the perfect child and blah, 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 you know? So you do go through this period of, wow, how did this happen to him? How did this happen to us? What will the future hold for him? There's so much anxiety and hand-wringing, and I can understand how adult disability might, I don't know if offense is too big of a word, but might take offense at that, because, you know, we're saying, hey, there was a point where we did not want our child to have a disability. But as somebody who's now the mom of a teenager with disability, and I felt this way for years, I've come to this place where I just, again, see Max as, you know, a person. And
that's fantastic. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like I think, that was just, yeah. That's so perfect.
Yeah, but I think that's a journey that a lot of parents go through. I've spoken with, and I've met so many through the blog, and I've met many in person over the years, just locally. And so it's not to say that you don't continuously face challenges and sometimes heartache and sometimes anxiety, but so there, I think that is probably to answer your question, the biggest. Okay, Kyle, what was your wording?
Thank you so much. No, that was because that's okay. Just something that I've always wanted to know. That it's easier for me to ask you because I can't look at you right now than to ask them who have all these years of experience with knowing me and seeing how I turned out. So it's almost to the point where it's like, if they tell me now, they're almost embarrassed because of how I turned out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, how did we ever have that thought?
Right. And you know what? And also I've said that as Max has developed, I've developed too as his parent. And you know what? If you would have told me before I had a child that I would have a child who wouldn't be able to speak like you and I, and, you know, might walk a little differently or, you know, do things a little differently, I would have thought that sounded so awful. But now I don't, because I know, you know, he's my child, and he's just an awesome human being. And it's been, again, an evolution for me. So I think that it is a journey that a lot of parents go through. But I've never once said to myself that I don't think of him. Well, you know what? No, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, I don't think Max put me through hell. He did, because I was so anxious about him and about how he would turn out. That's really what you worry about, because doctors also strike the fear of God into you, you know?
Oh yeah.
So, oh my God, this could be 200 podcasts. So I will stop talking.
No, honestly, I think what you've said could be a final takeaway in and of itself, in that we have to realize that part of the reason why parents freak out when it comes to having a child with a disability initially is that society perpetuates stigma, and that stigma carries over when you have your own encounters with it. And so I think that the most important roles we can all play are to continue to combat that stigma, but also to recognize that if stigma does come into play initially, that it doesn't make the parent a bad person per se. It just means that they are grappling with the entire weight of society's discrimination against a population that shouldn't even be there in the first place, but unfortunately still is.
Totally. And, you know, one other thing I should say is that as I've met, like, other parents in the bubble sphere, I've met adults with disability who have really given me hope. And I know this is such a bad word, and I wrote about this once, but I feel inspiration, not in the inspiration porn sort of way, like, oh, how awesome that you can, you know, go to a bookstore by yourself. But I want Max to have independence someday. That's really at the top of my list for him right now. And the adults that I've met do give me some, hope that, you know, Max could achieve that. So that's been illuminating to me. And also sometimes, you know, they've just slapped me aside the head and been like, hey, you know, that's not the truth. Like Andrew Paulson, do you guys know him?
He sounds familiar.
He's, I can't remember. He's a writer and an advocate, and he's commented on the blog over years. He has CP also. And
oh, that sounds familiar, but I'm not placing him right now.
Okay. Trying to Google him as I write. So, I think it's really, when I had Max again, I had not known any people with disability. And you know what? Maybe if I had known you guys when Max was little, it would have been a way easier journey for me. I didn't. So I don't know. Maybe that's another takeaway here, you know, for if parents are listening to this, or I don't know, how can we forge greater connections? Again, there's that one, are you guys in that group? Adults with CP advising parents of kids with CP?
I am. Emily doesn't have CP, so she's not allowed.
Right, that's true.
But okay. I'm definitely in that group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But maybe there needs to be more groups like that.
It's very constructive. I remember when I first found your blog, I was an intern in Washington, and I loved it so much. I think I emailed you my life story and my phone number, and I'm like, if you need anything, please let me know. No, because it was
sort of, you could babysit? No, I didn't. Okay.
No, but you know what? Sign me up. But I mean, it was just I just, it was unlike anything I had read yet. And since maybe I found one or two blogs that are similar to yours in regard to disability and parenting, but yeah, they're definitely, your blog was the first to actually attempt to bridge a gap, and I think you've since done it.
Well, that's really heartening to hear. I think it's a work of progress for all of us, right? I mean, it's just,
certainly,
we're all on the same page here. I would like that, and I think it would benefit everybody. Maybe we just need some more open conversations like this, just so everybody can air whatever grievances they have. I really never had any grievances against adults with disability, and I've always been like, what the heck is the problem here? But of course, I have seen it spark up over the years, like with that one mighty post. I don't read the negative blogs, so I don't know like what kind of crap parents are putting out there. If I saw a blog where somebody was just slamming their kid all the time, I'd be like, get a grip. You know, that's just not good for anybody.
But I mean, we all know you're too positive, so you should probably cool it with the positivity.
Yeah, be sad sometimes, dang it.
But in all seriousness, this has been such a great conversation, and we've had
so much fun.
Thank you. This was
great. Please come back.
Oh my, I will come back. This is like an hour, and it just whizzed by.
Yeah, and also seriously, the fact that you gave us an hour when you have three children, including a baby, is amazing.
Are you kidding?
Yes, thank you so much.
Talking to adults is such a treat.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I mean, I spend the whole day listening to the baby. Is obsessed with this like 5-inch yellow bus. So all he says all day long is bus, bus, bus. I'm not kidding. He just wants me to find his bus all the time, or he wants to like talk about his bus. But all he can say is bus. Max likes to talk about his upcoming trip to Las Vegas, which he has planned. He's going to Las Vegas for his birthday.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, we haven't actually booked tickets or anything, but he's like planned this whole fantasy trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he really likes to travel. Anyway, so yes, I am glad to have a great adult conversation.
Well, we will definitely be having more adult conversation, probably because we're going to convince you to go out to lunch with us so that we can just continue to tell you how great you are.
And vice versa, how cool would that be? I would love that.
Oh, yes. That's a great...
And we don't even have to tape it. We could just talk, right?
Yeah!
Yeah, definitely please. No taping that one.
No, we can have real-life conversation without recording. Although, to be fair, I think that hearing conversations like this recorded and just completely uncensored is exactly what people need.
I hope that this changes perspective in some way. You know what? You always hope that, like, what's that? There's this phrase, if you save one person's life, if you've saved the world. And I've thought to myself sometimes over the years, like, if I could just, I want to change a lot of people's minds, but if I could just change one person's mind, then that will make a difference, because that one person could go out there and then change who knows how many other people's minds. So, you know, you always hope that the efforts that you make will pay off. Right.
Oh, yeah. And that's how we function with this podcast. I mean, we're honestly still confused where all our listeners are coming from, because we just keep getting them and we're just a little bit like, who are you and why do you care about disability? But hey, if we've gotten you to think differently, then that's great.
Right.
That's what we've done our job.
Agreed. Totally.
So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you just quickly plug again where people can find you, even though you said it in the beginning?
Oh, sure. So, my blog is Love That Max, and it's lovethatmax.com. And yes, my other two children might need therapy someday because they don't have blogs. But that's what it is. It was originally called To The Max, but when I went to get the domain, it was taken by a company. So Love That Max. And thank you for having me. This has been a real pleasure. And I will talk with you both more.
Yes, absolutely. We'll talk offline. But for now, this has been another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.